on 2UE. George and Paul's Crime File.
And a very timely one today. Australians smuggling drugs doesn't pay in Asia.
It certainly doesn't, as we're finding out in the papers and press lately what's going on over there. But let's start at the beginning. When nine young Australians aged between 18 and 28 were arrested at Bali Airport on the 17th of April 2005 in possession of 8.3 kilograms, that's 18 pounds of high-grade heroin valued at Australian dollars, $4 million, they knew fully well that if caught, they faced the death penalty, life in prison, or in the least, a very, very long jail sentence. Throughout Asia, airport signs warn them of what happens to drug smugglers. Besides, a year earlier, Australian Chappelle Corby had been arrested for trying to smuggle 4.2 kilograms of marijuana into Bali, and soon after the Bali Nine were caught, Corby was sent to share a cell with 20 other prisoners in the dreaded cockroach and rat-infested Kerikabarn prison for 20 years. On the 13th of February 2006, seven of the Bali Nine, including a 28-year-old woman, Renee Lawrence, were sentenced to life imprisonment. The group's ringleader, Andrew Chan, and Myron Sukumaran were sentenced to death by firing squad, the two leaders. While four of the nine had their life sentences reduced to 20 years on appeal, Chan and Sukumaran's 2001 appeals were dismissed and the death sentences stood. Appeals for clemency were lodged, but they were, have all been rejected and have come down to the end of the road. It looks like this is the finally the end of the road. The fact that they will be executed shortly is highly likely, as there are numerous Australian precedents throughout Asia involving far, far less than narcotics than the kilos of heroin that they were in charge of. When two Australians, let's go back to the other cases. When two Australians, 29-year-old Brian Chambers and Kevin Barlow, decided to smuggle drugs out of Malaysia into Australia, they were both aware of the penalty, death by hanging. Signs all over Malaysian entry and exit points warned that anyone caught in possession of more than 15 grams of heroin would be hanged. On the 9th of November 1983, Barlow and Chambers had been caught at Penang International Airport with 141.9 grams of heroin, about a schooner glass full, I suppose, if you tipped all of the powder in there. An apparent tip-off, believed at the time to create a diversion so a larger amount of heroin could be smuggled through while the men were being detained and searched, had led to their downfall. Apparently these scumbags over there, they set these couriers up, they ring up the police and tell them that they're going through, they're quite prepared to lose only 15 or 20 grams of, or 100 odd grams of heroin while they get a much larger shipment through at the same time, while all the fuss is going on. They get someone through with kilos attached to them. The original plan had been simple. Chambers was to act as the contact man with a small drug syndicate operating in Malaysia. On his arrival, he would connect up with the narcotics dealer, collect the parcel of drugs, and then deliver them to Barlow's room. Barlow would carry the parcel out of Malaysia and through Australian customs into Australia. Chambers was to follow several days later. Both men, who were regular heroin users, had been approached in Australia, and the offer of a free holiday in Malaysia and the $7,000 cash they were offered had been too good to resist, even if it meant risking their lives. Initially, all went according to plan. Chambers collected the drugs and delivered them to Barlow. But then, instead of separating and coming into Australia 3 days apart, the men stayed together. It was to be their undoing. Barlow and Chambers were approached as they stood in separate checkout queues. They were sweating profusely and appeared agitated. Taken to separate rooms, Barlow was told to open his bag. Kevin Barlow explained that he couldn't, as the locked bag belonged to Chambers and he didn't know the combination. But the bag was finally opened and 17 packets of white powder was found in two bundles wrapped up in newspaper and a third in a pink plastic bag. It turned out to be fine-grade AAA Dragon Pearl heroin. Both men were immediately taken into custody. At Barlow and Chambers' trial, the Crown ridiculed their defence that they had no idea the heroin was in the bag and that it must have been concealed there by a mystery man they met on their holiday. On the 1st of August 1985, they were both found guilty of drug trafficking and sentenced to death by hanging. Australia was stunned. As a nation, we were just beginning to feel the grip of the scourge of heroin and the hideous addiction that it had on young people and how it was killing them where they sat after injecting. I remember it like it was yesterday, George. Don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was just an extraordinary thing.
Bob Hawke was involved in that too.
He was indeed. Yeah. And a lot of people tried to get them out.
And many people have commented on the death scene because they showed it on TV with the toes hanging out the bottom of the gurney.
Yeah. But Australians couldn't come to terms with the fact that two young men could be executed for trying to smuggle heroin from one country to another. It seemed too high a price to pay. If they had been caught with a similar amount in Australia at the time, they would have received no more than about 5 years in prison. As the day of the executions drew near, the Australian press relayed daily details of the possibility of a stay of execution or perhaps a commutation to life imprisonment.
A bit like what's happening now.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
But despite desperate attempts for a new trial and pleas by the young men's families, it fell on deaf ears. Prime Minister Bob Hawke was reported to have made an 11th-hour plea to the Malaysian Prime Minister for a stay of execution. The West Australian Premier, Brian Burke, offered to imprison the two men in WA for a minimum of 20 years, but it was to no avail. Despite legal proceeding and stays of execution still pending in the Malaysian Supreme Court, at 6 a.m. on the 7th of July 1986, Brian Godfrey Chambers and Kevin John Barlow dropped to their deaths through the trapdoors on the gallows at Kuala Lumpur Jail. The headlines in the Melbourne Herald the following morning read, "The condemned men died at dawn. Malaysian justice lives, but stands condemned." The executions left Australia in great debate. Was it too severe a punishment for an alleged victimless crime? Given that Barlow and Chambers were Australians, should they have been sent home to a long prison sentence? Or did they get what the Malaysian law demanded? But if the executions of Kevin Barlow and Brian Chambers were meant to be a deterrent to would-be Australian drug traffickers, it didn't work. In June 1985, former Manly bartender, 38-year-old Michael Dennis McAuliffe, was arrested at Penang Airport in possession of 141 grams of heroin, which, ironically, was exactly the same amount as Barlow and Chambers were hanged for and was eventually sentenced to death on the gallows. At 6:05 a.m. on Friday the 18th of June 1993, after existing on death row for 8 years in the most disgusting conditions imaginable and with his numerous appeals rejected, Michael McAuliffe was hanged inside Kajang Jail to become the third Australian to be executed under Malaysian law. Before he went to his death, McAuliffe told a Melbourne Age journalist, Lindsay Murdoch, in an exclusive interview, "Please God, I just want this to end soon. I have seen too many others waiting to be hanged go crazy. I've seen plenty of others commit suicide. I stayed in the same room as Kevin Barlow before he went and he was really freaky." In 2002, 25-year-old Australian citizen Nang Yen Tuong Van was arrested at Singapore